In exploring this tool, a practice tool of checking into the relationship to experience, it can be really helpful to not do it too frequently. Sometimes we can get a little vigorous with this. Oh, what's my relationship to that? Oh, and my relationship to that and that and that. You feel like an endless regress. And at times, that can actually be helpful. But I'd say especially early on in exploring this as a tool, it's more helpful to just do it from time to time, really occasionally, maybe a few times during a sitting. And particularly if it feels like there's a struggle, something, a fight going on in your experience. I have three basic kind of times that are I find helpful to check the relationship, that time when it feels like there's a struggle, when it's going really well, both of which I've mentioned already. And then also it can be helpful to check in about the relationship to experience when we return from being lost in thought. So there's the kind of the waking up into being lost in thought, and there's sometimes an attitude about that itself, a kind of a relationship to having been lost and now being back. Oh, I blew it again, you know, something like that. There can be an attitude, a relationship to that. And so that's useful to notice just as an arising. It's just a thought in the mind. Oh, having returned from wandering and thinking that I blew it. So aversion to having been wandering, knowing that. So that's a way that it's useful, or one part of it being useful, to check the relationship when we return from a wandering. But over time, and as our practice deepens and we get more skilled with that moment of return, and there's not so much of a concern about having been wandering, and it's more, oh, I'm back. Awareness is back. It can also be useful to just kind of check in here. And it maybe isn't so much, you know, what's the attitude about being back, but it's more like in the mind wandering, as the mind wanders, the very wandering, whatever it's doing, if it's thinking thoughts about the past or future, or just kind of drifting, you know, the experience that happens when we're not aware shapes our mind. If we've been thinking about our past, that thinking has had an effect on our mind. And so when we return from a wandering, a checking into, oh, what's here now, having the mind having been wandering, sometimes if we don't check into that, that can enter in as an attitude. You know, maybe we've been thinking about something frustrating, and that's subtle. There's a subtle frustration that has arisen during that time the mind was wandering. And then we're back, and it's okay, I'm back, no problem. And then let me come to the breath. If we don't notice that subtle frustration had been generated, sometimes we can apply that frustration to the practice. It can be an attitude that gets pulled in. And so it can be really useful to, in that moment of returning, maybe the reflection there, the question there could be, you know, it's like, what's happening now? What's here now, having been wandering, the mind having been wandering? A broader kind of check-in, any kind of hidden things going on with the mind having been wandering. And one of the great things about checking in that moment too is that sometimes in the wandering mind, the mind will wander not into frustration and anxiety and confusion, some kind of kilesa, some kind of defilement, But it can wander into calm. It can wander into ease. And so checking in, what, having been wandering, what's kind of the landscape that's here? It may be that there's more calm in the waking up. And then that can support, the recognition of that can support the being with the breath, being with what's arising. And the other piece I want to kind of point to or speak to a little bit around agendas, particularly, you know, seeing hidden agendas in particular in relationship to the practice itself. There's a difference between an expectation of a particular outcome around an aim to the practice and a kind of an inclining towards a particular settling of the mind, for instance. There may be an inclining towards a releasing of thought and letting go, a settling and quieting of the mind. And that can be very skillful. The challenge might happen, or the struggle might begin to happen when there's something going on, maybe, you know, in the very settling of our minds. Sometimes it creates a place where, you know, something that has long been buried, you know, the very relaxation and settling and quieting of the mind creates space for something that has long been not seen. And so it comes up. Maybe it expresses as thought, images, emotions. And if we hold to the agenda of, oh, but what I want to do is not have those thoughts, sometimes we're running counter to what's actually the natural organic unfolding of the practice. And so sometimes we may need to let go of those agendas and just open to, okay, well, right now, this is what's arising. And so it's fine to have these aims and directions for our practice. And then we also need to honor the natural movements of our mind in that practice, in that unfolding. So if there's a struggle, again, if there's a struggle around a form of practice that you're doing, and it's like, you know, what you're seeing, maybe it expresses something like, oh, I'm trying to settle the mind and not have thoughts, but I can't make the thoughts stop. It's like, basically, this is an expression of, I'm not in control of the mind. You know, this can be understood as an insight, this uncontrollability of mind. Sometimes we can shape the conditions that will allow for a practice to unfold in a particular way. And other times, conditions are different. And so noticing, if we're holding, that holding will often express itself as some form of struggle. And so we can notice checking the relationship there. What's the relationship?